listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
So many things to remember when you come up here. There's the mask, glasses that are fogging up, water, notes. Have I forgotten anything? Okay. So, how are you all? Welcome to visitors and Zoomers, whoever's there. I can't see from here, sorry. Has anyone not been in a crisis? Silly question, I know. Well, I've been in a crisis this week. I didn't have a voice for 2 days and I only just came back today. So just pray that I can get through these notes. And whenever I'm preparing a message, I go aim for about 2,000 words, and that goes for about 30 minutes. Well, I ended up with 4,000, and I thought, nah, they don't want to stay here till tonight. So, Alan, help. Can you cut out 1,000 words or 2,000 words? So we've cut it back. It might go just over half an hour. So if you need to go, go. And if you're enjoying it, stay. And Alan, give me a sign when I've gone too long. Okay, so last week, Alan introduced the series Trusting God. And today I want to continue on with the same theme, but trusting God in a crisis. Oh, where's the doflicky? I forgot that. The clicker. And I'd like to control it. Thank you. Need some control. Thank you. Okay. So today we're going to look at these three verses. We're going to skim through them fairly quickly, and then I'll go through them in more detail a bit later. John 16:33 in the Amplified says, "In the world you will have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, and be filled with joy." James 1:2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." And Romans 5, which we'll look at later, explains the relationship between suffering, character, perseverance, and hope. Crisis. A crisis can turn our world upside down. It can be a time of intense pain, anger, a time when there's an impending decision to be made, and it might also just be a catastrophe, just something right out of the blue. The problem with crises is we get little notice before it bursts into our life. It doesn't call a few minutes before to ask if it's okay to come in. It doesn't knock politely. It just rams the door off its hinges and there it is. Unwelcomed, unannounced, unexpected, and unwilling to go away. It often takes us by surprise and might feel like a bad dream. God, when am I going to wake up from this dream? Have you ever felt that? Sometimes it's invisible, like COVID. That is one big crisis the whole world is dealing with at the moment. And what about the war in Afghanistan? It just breaks my heart to see all those people suffering. There's so much suffering going on in the world. Our crises might be physical, mental, emotional, financial, relational. It could be anything. Our suffering might have been caused by our own decisions. One slip up and the consequences can haunt us for the rest of our life. Our suffering might have been caused by health failures. It might have been caused by other people, or it might have been caused by nature. But I believe there's a reason why we go through crises in our life. It's character building. Not an easy way to build character, but it certainly does. Correctly handled, it teaches us to rely on God, to deepen our relationship with Him so that we can learn to lean on Him and trust in Him. It's not easy trusting God in a crisis. I'd like to read you a short story. Laura Jane Welch, born 4th of November 1946 in Texas. 2 days after her 17th birthday, she ran a stop sign and struck another car, killing its driver. The victim was her close friend and classmate. His name was Douglas. That was a crisis, and it was a tragic accident that affected both families deeply. She suffered from guilt for many years. Guilt is the thief of life. So if you're suffering from guilt, remember that. She had a lot of regrets. She later wrote a book called Spoken from the Heart, where she said that the crash caused her to lose her faith for many, many years. Years later, Laura married and became the wife of President George Bush. Laura's crises could have paralysed her for the rest of her life, but she came back to faith and she did some amazing work around the world, promoting various groups, especially women's health, and promoting women in countries where they didn't have a voice. She turned her crises around to help others. The Apostle Paul. We can learn so much from him. He had many crises of his own. On the road to Damascus to persecute more Christians, he went from being blinded and raged towards Christians and killing and persecuting them to being physically blinded by God for 3 days. He then had his eyes opened by God physically and spiritually to see the truth about Jesus Christ and God's love and not just his precious Jews. His eyes were opened. His heart was open. But once he became a Christian, he faced incredible crises. He was imprisoned. No, that's not right. Where's it gone, Alan? Okay, well, I have to skip your clever work that you did for me. Where are we? So he was imprisoned, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, robbed, and he was bitten by a snake. Some of his letters were written from prison, and yet he showed incredible character. Even in his own crises, I can't see that. Romans 1:8, this is how he begins many of his letters. He thanks God for other people. While he's in prison, going through all his crises, he gives thanks to God. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Ephesians 1:16, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And Philippians 1:3, I thank my God in all remembrance of you. If that was me, imprisoned and having been through all of that, I don't know if I'd be writing to you guys saying, I thank my Lord for all of you. I'd be going, help, get me out of here. Can't one of you go and talk to someone? Put it on telly, 60 minutes, get me out of here. But Paul's heart was pure. He was a beautiful, beautiful, godly man. His aim was to proclaim God's glory and to teach other people about God's goodness. So let's have a closer look at Romans 5, 3-5. See if this works. Okay. He says, not only so, But we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character. Oh, didn't work again, sorry. Okay, well, I'm going to have to act it out. That was supposed to go round and round in circles. So we all go through suffering. This is in Romans 5, 3 to 5. We all go through suffering. Through the suffering, we persevere, maybe for a short time or a long time. With that, it builds our character. And then we have hope because God helps us through and he gives us hope. Now, that if this is your first crisis, you might think, oh, this is just too hard. But after we've been through that circle a number of times, one crisis after another, God helps us build our hope. So each time we go around, our faith and our trust in God gets stronger. And so next time something comes up, well, for me anyway, I don't get so fearful. I think, oh no, God answered that amazing crisis back then. So this is nothing compared to back then. So we do gradually build up strength in our faith and our trust in God. So we need to remember those four words: suffering, perseverance, character, and hope. Suffering, through suffering, we can find our true identity in God. Perseverance. Paul persevered under incredible and constant persecution. Character. Who do we think of when I say character? Jesus. He was the perfect role model for godly character. He was unwavering, whether he was in celebrations or persecutions. We grow in character through crises. So next time you're going through a crisis, remember, it's building your character and it's building your hope and your trust in God. No one is exempt from crises. I don't need to tell you that, you know. But how do we respond? With courage? With fear? Do we go into fix-it mode? I know I have done many times, but I'm slowly learning there's no point in running ahead of God. We just give it to him and wait for his timing. I'd like to share some of our own family crises over the last 40 years. Since we became Christians, and how with God's help we got through. Sometimes it felt like a war. In 1981, 3rd of June, Alan and I were born again. 3rd of June, exactly 1 year later, my dad died in my arms. He had heart problems. I gave him CPR. He didn't survive. In the 1990s, our kids, Paul and Marie, were on their way to youth camp when they had a car accident. Not badly hurt, thankfully. Killed a kangaroo, I believe. Alan had a car accident and he hit a woman who just stepped off the footpath. She died a few weeks later. Marie, when she was at uni and working as a checkout chick at night, was involved in an attempted armed hold-up. Paul was in a motorbike accident, ended up in the RA with a broken elbow. The guy next to him wasn't so lucky. He was a quadriplegic. Marie, in 96, came down with ulcerative colitis, which some of you may never have heard of. I never had either until she got it. Treatment for 2 years didn't work. And in 1998... she had to have surgery, otherwise she would have died. 7-hour surgery. It was a long battle, and that was my biggest crisis, the biggest thing I have ever had to deal with, to watch your child suffer, not just for a week or two, but years and years and years. So from beginning to end, that battle started. It took about 6 or 7 years from diagnosis to recovery, and she still isn't completely recovered. She still has to watch what she eats, what she does, whatever it is, lots of juggling to do, but she does it victoriously. In the year 2000, Alan and I began ministry in this church, Lefevre Christian Family Centre, the amalgamation of North Haven and Taparoo Church. In the same year, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. Alan had a perforated bowel, which was life-threatening. I didn't know that. I'd go and visit him and say, "So when are you coming home?" I had no idea how serious it was. I was told. He had three knee surgeries, two partials and then a complete one after that, and two cancers. Now, this is a good story. Sit back and enjoy, because I didn't enjoy this at all. Okay, so I came back from Christmas shopping around about 2005. There were two guys in the lounge talking to Alan, and I just didn't like the look of them or the sound of them. So I had all this shopping, Christmas shopping in my arms, went and dropped them off into my corner room, and I could hear them talking, and I thought, no, something's not right here. Don't like what I'm hearing. Anyway, what happened was an ex-member of the church had given us, the church, $3,000 from an insurance claim. It was a tithe, 10% of what he got. And his nephew and his friend, who had just got out of jail, came to our place demanding $10,000. Alan said we didn't have that much money around, nor did the church. He offered them $3,000, but we had to go to the bank the next day. But they were angry. They wanted something immediately. In the meantime, the ex-member who got us into trouble rolls up in a taxi. And I was in the laundry looking out, and I could just see he was getting out of the taxi, and one of the guys went out to meet him, and I heard him say, "Now don't forget to say what we told you." I was petrified. I ran round the back to the flat where Marie was, and I rang Pastor Bruce Hamble, and I said, "Can you come round quick?" So he did. Didn't have mobile in those days, so it had to be a landline. I rang Alan on the landline, and one of the guys picked it up, and I said, "Could I speak to Alan, please?" And he gives it to Alan, and he said, "It's your wife." How did he know? Anyway, so they weren't very happy about leaving. Alan offered them a coffee, as a good Greek man does, and he said, told me later, that one of the guys followed him to the kettle. Next to the kettle was a block of knives. Now, he didn't know, we didn't know if they were violent. We had no idea. My heart, you can imagine, was just thumping. I thought I was going to pass out. Anyway, so they wanted some money that day, and all we had in the house was $150. So they were happy with that. Alan organised to meet them the next day at the bank, and he drew out the $3,000. And, sorry, I've just lost my train of thought. Where was I going? That's right. Yes, Christmas carols are on the day before, and we just happened to have around about $2,000 in the safe. But they didn't know where the safe was, and we weren't going to tell them. So that was that. That was a big crisis. But it's good to look back and tell the story and say, "Thank you, Lord, for protecting us." In 2011, Alan went to the Philippines and came back with dengue fever. The doctor said he could have come back in a wooden box with the strain that he had. He later got Ross River virus. So he was coming home from the Philippines. He was in Singapore overnight, I think, and he rang me to say, "Hun, I'm just letting you know that I'm not well. I just thought I'd warn you before I get home that, you know, something's not right." And I said, "Great, well, I've been in hospital all day getting my detached retina fixed." And all on the same day. And it's like, I had no idea what dengue fever was. He didn't know that it was dengue fever. I just thought it was a cold or he's tired or whatever. So after I had my retina lasered, I couldn't drive for a while. So eventually, I think it was about 9 o'clock at night, I was driving home, it was raining, and all the car lights coming were like halos. And I had to go home and get the sheets off the line, and they were wet. It was just one of those days. When he arrived home the next morning, he was not well. So that took a long time to get over it, and in fact, I think he still suffers from the side effects of that. How am I going for time? Oh dear, better hurry. In 2015, most of you know, I had cancer, and I had chemo and a stem cell transplant. I'm very grateful to be here and to be alive. Ongoing complications from the treatment, regular infusions to boost my immune system, neuropathy in my hands and feet, the nerve between my ear and my eyes were affected, which affects my coordination and balance. So if you see me walking crooked, that's why, not drunk. Had to see a neurophysiotherapist. Affected my vocal cords, so I had to have speech therapy. And so when I get sick, that's normally where I get it, in my throat. So if it wasn't for my cancer journey, I wouldn't have been able to minister and pray for as many people as I did. My prayer was, God, use me. I thought, there's got to be a reason for all this. And he did. He created wonderful opportunities for me to pray for people. It was a testing time, but it was a joyous time. Now, hopefully the next one works. Okay. If any of you don't like gory pictures, turn away. I'm warning you. 2016, New Year's Eve, Marie was bitten by a dog on the face. That was Frank rang us and said, Mum, Marie's not good. You better come down to the hospital. And that's what we saw. The bandages all over her head. And anyway, we're so grateful that she didn't lose an eye or a nose. And she had a bit of surgery two or three times, and they fixed most of it up, but at least she's got her sight. So we just give God praise for that. And the most serious one, Alan has now, in his old age, has had to use a three-wheel ride-on for golf. He can't walk around the golf course, and he loves it. So we've got to look for the good in the bad, don't we? You've got to look for the joy. You've got to look for the funny side of things. Otherwise, we'd go around the block. In April this year, I had 3-hour robotic surgery, and I'm still having ongoing issues with that. Really knocked me around. And with COVID and just being locked in because of my immune system and haven't been able to go out much, I found myself getting quite down and depressed. And so I've been getting some counselling. I mean, the best counsellor is Jesus, but sometimes you need Jesus with skin on, don't you? So I've been seeing, some of you might remember Paul Wetham, who came here a year or two ago, ran a course, a wonderful guy. So I can recommend him if you need to talk to a Christian counsellor. So what did I learn? What did I learn through these crises? I couldn't fix things in my own strength. I desperately needed God. It took me a long time to eventually turn my heart towards him and say, okay, God, whatever is ahead, I'm handing it all over to you because I don't have anything left in me. I have to trust you. Whatever crisis comes my way, I have to trust you. Last week, I don't know if you remember, we prayed for my friend Trish, whose husband was in hospital with cancer and he only had a few days to live. He died on Friday morning, 1 month from diagnosis to the day he died. was very quick. And while I've been talking and praying with her over the last few weeks, she mentioned the joy and the unexpected blessings that the family has experienced through this terrible crisis. Such a shock. It happened so quickly. But she's so positive, and she was telling me all the positive things. And Charlie, her husband, said, "Look, I could have got hit by a bus and run over, and we wouldn't have had this month. But we've had this month to, and they've made amends, and they talked about beautiful memories with their two sons and their daughters-in-law. And it was a precious, precious time." I love her outlook in life. Our beautiful Jean in 2016, some of you know, lost her two adult children, Casey and Gavin, and they passed away within weeks of each other. What a shock. As expected, she was in shock, especially as Casey seemed to be coming along okay. And Gavin had cerebral palsy, and he wasn't expected to live into his teens, but he lived into adulthood. He couldn't talk and he couldn't walk, but Jean said he just laughed. He was just the people who looked after him in the house where he was being cared for absolutely loved him. So losing two adult children weeks apart was huge. Can you imagine the shock and the grief process? Grief doesn't have an end date. It's ongoing, but the intensity diminishes over time. Jean said, knowing that both Casey and Gavin aren't suffering anymore and knowing they're at peace brings her great comfort. She acknowledges that God's ways aren't always our ways, but her faith in God is unwavering. We love you, Jean, and we're so glad you're part of our church family. The Johnses, who are up the back there, our dear friends from Chris and I know each other from over 50 years ago. Some of you would know their son Luke died very suddenly 12 months ago. That was a shock. Ongoing grief. That process, that journey of coming to terms with it and just going through all the emotions that come with that. And Bianca, I remember your parents died very close together, didn't they? 6 months, was it? Oh, a few years, yeah. I remember when we first met you, that was fresh, wasn't it? So what about you guys? Are you in a crisis today? Are you in a battle? So today I'm declaring war. We are going to reclaim any ground that we have lost. Sometimes we go through physical wars, sometimes it's spiritual. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Satan is at work, guys. We know that, don't we? And a lot of our battles begin in our thoughts. The Bible calls them strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What is a stronghold? It's a thought that holds us strongly. Many of our battles do start up here, but let's make sure we don't camp there. We have to guard our minds. We have to recognise the seed thoughts and pull them down. Recognise those strongholds. And when a negative thought comes into your mind, if you're afraid, just talk back with God's word. Fear scriptures. Yep, I can see your hand. Yeah, and if you're going through something, just Google whatever it is that you're going through, anxiety or worry or whatever. Google it and find scriptures, God's word, that you can talk back at those strongholds. I've been in a battle with some of these seed thoughts, strongholds, in my life for 20, 30, 40 years. I've camped with one issue for too many years. And my mind keeps going back to it. Usually when I'm going to sleep or when I first wake up, there it is, bang. Why is that? Does that happen to anyone else? No, it's only me. I'm still learning to deal with it. So renewing the mind is key to living a victorious Christian life. Whether it's a current crisis or something that's happened years ago, there are two important steps to overcoming. Excuse me, I just have to get my iPad. How am I going for time? No one's walked out yet. Sorry. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 from the New Living. Last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. Put on all of God's armour so that you will be able to stand safe against all the strategies and tricks of Satan. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world. Those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. So use every piece of God's armour to resist the enemy whenever he attacks, and when it is all over, you will still be standing up. But to do this, you will need the strong belt of truth. Let's see if this one comes up. Yep. The strong belt of truth and the breastplate of God's approval. Wear shoes that are able to speed you on as you preach the good news of peace with God. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. And you will need the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray all the time. Ask God for anything in line with the Holy Spirit's wishes. Plead with him, reminding him of your needs, and keep praying earnestly for all Christians everywhere. Isn't that beautiful? That is I love that PowerPoint. Can you see the writing clearly? All of those pieces of armour are so important. The shield of faith, that covers the whole body, the heart. The helmet protects the head and the brain. We can't live without a head, can we? And just as many as armies these days go out to war in full military uniform, we too are to go out to war with the full armour of God. So first of all, we renew the mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." We have to think about what we're thinking about. I don't like my thinking sometimes, but recognising that it's not of God, that it's wrong, is half the battle. We can't have a positive life when we have a negative mind. What's our inner dialogue? What do we say to ourselves? What's our self-talk? Are we excited about where our thoughts are taking us? What stronghold is stopping us from enjoying the abundant life that Jesus died to give us? Oh, sorry, I've got to turn carefully, otherwise I might fall. What's that one up there? James 1:2, consider it all joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why do we consider it all joy? Because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. So if you need prayer, ask for it. This is God's army right here. So if you have a need, don't be afraid to ask for prayer. If you need to see a counsellor, do it. Don't go camping in that spot, that negative thinking. So to finish up, I'm nearly there, guys. Laura, the woman who became the president's wife, excuse me. She made a split-second decision going through a stop sign. She was momentarily paralysed and not able to function, but she turned it around for good to help others. Alan's accident could have paralysed him, but this church wouldn't be what it is if he stayed stuck back there. Anyone could have done it, but I'm glad that he didn't stay stuck. I'm glad that we did go into ministry despite all those attacks. Through my cancer journey, it was such a joy being used to pray and minister to people who were facing death. One lady said she's never heard a prayer like that. And I thought, I wonder what sort of prayer she's heard, because all I prayed was like we pray here, from the heart to God. She died a week or two later. Another lady, beautiful lady, she died. I shared a room with her and she was gorgeous. Alan was involved in her funeral, and the day she decided to stop treatment, Alan and I stopped to visit her on our way down from my chemo, and she said, oh, I'm so glad you two are here. I've made a decision. I'm not continuing with treatment. She was exhausted, in her 80s. And she wanted Alan to take part in the funeral. In fact, all the people that I prayed for in hospital died. I'm the only one surviving. Could it be you guys were praying for me? Maybe, I think so. I just felt smothered in prayer while I was going through my journey. Jean, you're a great role model. Thank you for being who you are, shining your light so others can see God's light shining out of you. The Apostle Paul, after so much suffering, how could he cope with all those crises? How could he do that and still think of other people? So please, don't let your crises paralyze you. God has got work for each one of us. He's got a purpose for each one of us. So let's make sure we don't get stuck and we are available for God to use us. Jesus died an agonizing death on the cross for you and me. He turned his pain into our gain. And because of Jesus' crisis and suffering, we are forgiven, cleansed, and set free to start afresh, no matter what our past looks like, and we can look forward to eternal life. That's a pretty good God, I reckon. I trust him. Anything that happens, I put my trust, my faith, my hope in any crisis that comes my way. So I encourage you all today, I pray that something has spoken to you, a desire in your heart to get to know Jesus more and more, to really desire a deeper walk with him, because life just doesn't make sense without him. Okay, we're going to pray now, but would the ministry team like to come up, just play softly in the background? Because of COVID, we can't have a prayer line, but I would like to pray for people who have got a need. So if you do have a specific need, I'm not going to ask you what it is, just raise your hand while I'm praying. And I'd also love for you guys to pray for me when you think of it. I would love to get back to where I was, a bit more energy to do the things that I want to do. Maybe things God wants me to do. Okay, thanks guys. So Lord, we We ask you that you use the crises that we face today or in the future to grow our faith and our trust in you. Help us to run the race, remembering that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Lord, help us to be more like you. Help us to renew our minds, to pull down those strongholds and reclaim any ground that we have lost. Lord, for anyone here today who is suffering, I pray that you would comfort them and bring them rest. Touch them, Lord, with your healing power. And Lord, we also think of people around the world who are struggling with wars, famine, fires, earthquakes, COVID. You know, Lord, only you can comfort people the way you know how. Bring peace to people. Bring rest to the weary. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you hear each of our prayers. And you never turn away from us, but your arms are always open for us to turn to you. So, Lord, here we are today, thanking you for showing us your ways, because your ways are so much better and higher than our ways. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thanks, guys. Just want to finish that song.